Here's what's going to happen. I am going to have to fix you, manage you to, on a more personal scale, a more micro form of management. Jim, what is that called?
Microgement.
Boom. Yes.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Weiss here with you once again. Another week, another Giants loss. This one somehow more disappointing than the last. Before we get into it, you know what you got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. All right, we're back. A Giants loss in prime time at Arrowhead where they didn't get blown out. Very winnable game, in reach the entire time, and like the Giants do and have done over the last, 10 seasons, they just found a way to beat themselves again, where everything just went wrong, the wheels falling off. Weiss, where do you want to start, man? I'm getting, real sick and tired of this shit.
Is your headset working? Your headphones working?
Sorry, what?
I said, are your headphones working? Your headset working?
What'd you say?
Time out.
Oh. Joe, that's your 8th timeout. You can't do that. That's not allowed.
Oh, man. Where do you want
to
start?
What a fucking loser, dude. What a loser.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of the epitome of what the Giants have become. Like, if you think about it, right? Like, they lose games. They're not competent. And then they come up with, the worst excuses for why they're bad. Like, that's basically what it is. Like, anytime
pretty much
something happens, right? It's always, we're losing, right? We're incompetent, but here's this lame excuse of why we're losing.
Yep.
I mean, but I think the most troubling part about this with this is that, and we'll start with the whole headset thing, is like Joe Judge preaches on 3 things, right? He preaches on preparation, he preaches on discipline, and he preaches on
accountability,
right? Well, preparation. If this is his words, not mine, and he said that, and you guys can go back and listen to his press conference. This is a reoccurring issue. This wasn't something that just popped up at Arrowhead. This is something that he says is going on all roads.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Well, he's saying his words, not mine.
The NFL said it's not true.
Right. But he says it's going, but let's just say it is true, right? This has been going on for all the road games, although.
Yeah, let's just say that the dog did eat his homework.
Right. And he said that this is going on on the road, but there's been home games where his team has not been prepared and he's had to burn timeouts. But, again, he says it's happening on the road. This is the 8th game the Giants have played. 1, 2, 3 road games so far, right? Like, this is the 3rd road game. How is this still an issue? Like, how are you not prepared for this? And he said that I have to start using hand signals. How come you're not already prepared for that? Right? You're supposed to be the most prepared coach. You know, somebody that's going to be always prepared for the unexpected. How are you not prepared for this after the 3rd road game? And then he talks about, discipline. I mean, the Giants, it seems like every week, are committing double-digit penalties.
Like let me stop you real quick and just to go back to the headset thing.
Yeah.
What is Jason Garrett here for? If it's clearly not to operate a functioning modern day NFL offense. So if he's here to be that quote unquote experienced head coach on staff and they're having communication issues, don't you think it would behoove Jason Garrett to maybe speak up or behoove Joe Judge to go, hey, Jason, I'm having problems with this. Have you in your many, many years of head coaching experience in the NFL ever gone through this? What is he here for? Seriously, what is he here for?
This is what preparation is about, right?
And I can't believe I'm getting mad about this because this entire story is made up in the first place. But if it wasn't made up, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing here? What value are you providing Joe Judge, first-time head coach? What value are you providing your offensive players? What advantages are you giving them on the road in what's widely considered one of the most hostile environments to go into in the NFL against the best quarterback in the NFL and an offensive staff between Andy Reid and Bieniemy, who is widely considered one of the best offensive minds in the sport right now?
Andy Reid, yep.
What are you doing?
I mean, and then second, you know, we talked about discipline. I mean, the team commits double-digit penalties, like I said, almost every game. And it was really right there. I mean, I understand. Like, can I say something? The taunting penalty sucks. We agree on that, right?
It's John Mara made that bet, and right. Now he's got a now
it's
he's got
terrible,
a line.
Right? But at this point, we all know what they're going to throw a flag on. What Elijah Penny did, by rule, is taunting. You look a guy in the face, and you say something to him, or you do something to him like he did. That is taunting. Whether you like it or not, it is taunting. Why are you guys committing? First of all, you're 2-5, 2-6. Why the hell are you? Who are you trying to taunt? You're a fullback. Like, who are you trying to taunt?
Like, that's like, probably what? Why he was so excited.
What are you doing? You're 2-6. You're going against a team that, you know, was in a Super Bowl a year ago. Was a Super Bowl champion, one of the most successful teams, you know, of this era. Like, who are you trying to taunt? Not discipline. And then third, accountability. You bring up the headset, and then you don't want to make the entire... You don't want to make it about the headset. Well, then why'd you bring it up? How come the first time we're hearing about the headset is not by you?
He's literally a middle schooler. He's literally a middle schooler who got caught doing something that he shouldn't have been doing.
The worst thing, and I hate this so much, is when a coach or a player brings something up, right, and makes an excuse, and then says, I don't want to make this about that. Well, you already did. You're burning through timeouts consistently. This is the first time you're actually called out on it. And you made up an excuse. And then the league came out and said, no, you're full of shit, my man. Like, this is not, we're not aware of anything. So either you're lying, or you just you're a complete fraud because of what you preach. You're not practicing it.
I mean, honestly, and apologies for my throat clearing and coughing. I still got the Vegas flu. So, our good producer, Nick, as well as a few other people on Twitter have speculated what I believe to be an entirely plausible explanation, and that is that Joe Judge does not know that the headset is supposed to cut off with 15 seconds left on the play clock. Like, I think that is an entirely plausible explanation, and maybe that there are people on staff that are just too embarrassed to speak up and correct him at this point in the season. Like, if he's either making it up entirely, or it's actually happening and he just doesn't understand that you are not allowed to be in the quarterback's ear with under 15 seconds left on the play clock. Like, that is an entirely plausible explanation. Like, this guy has proven to have zero intellect. I mean, zero coaching ability.
Everything that was preached previously, about this guy.
And previously, think about it, as a special teams coach, like, what does he need to be yelling at his punter or his kicker for? Right? Right? Who knows?
No, I mean,
that's the sad part. That it is a plausible explanation.
The real alarming thing here is that Joe Judge was sort of labeled this guy that's always prepared, attention to detail. You know, he's always playing out different scenarios in his head. Always make sure his team is disciplined. Like, you can't be, and I know a lot of people have said this, but like, you can't have this like tough guy, disciplined role, and your team constantly do that. Those are signals that your message is not getting across. Like, that's troubling in all this. Is that, you know, it's not just the fact that they're losing games. It's like they're losing games for the exact reasons that you are sort of known of eliminating. Like, discipline, accountability, being prepared. How many pre-snap penalties does this team commit? How many times is somebody going to jump off sides on a play that could win them the game? Like,
can you name a time this season where the Giants have used a poorly timed timeout where they've come out of that timeout and executed a play well on offense or defense? Because I cannot.
Nope. Like, the conservativeness we knew, but we can work with that, right? If, like, there were not other issues. But the problem is that
there's nothing redeeming about it is what you're getting at.
Right. Like, there's nothing there for us to point to. And that's why I asked the question. What has Joe Judge done in 24 games of coaching to tell you that he deserves 2022?
Ask yourself this question. How many teams in the NFL would take Joe Judge over their current option?
I can't think of a lot.
Maybe Jacksonville.
I think Houston. Maybe. I mean, there are teams that would.
Houston just hired a new coach. They don't know yet. I mean, their roster is fucking awful. They're very clearly undergoing a rebuild. Maybe right. Detroit. Maybe Detroit. Right. Maybe Jacksonville. Two of the worst fucking franchises in the league.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Vikings fans who are fed up with Mike Zimmer, who is still a better coach than Joe Judge. Like, maybe. Like, the list is so small. There's not a single team that would jump up, hand in the air. Yes, sir. I'll take Joe Judge over my current option.
You're right. I can't disagree with you. I mean,
And forget about that. Forget about that. If there was a head coaching vacancy, how many other teams are jumping to steal Joe Judge away? If the Giants were to fire Joe Judge, who's going to go hire Joe Judge? Go back in offseason. How many other teams were looking to hire Joe Judge?
Mississippi State.
Yeah. That's it.
I don't even think Southern Miss would hire him now. I mean, I'm with you, man. Like, I think I've been more willing to, like, understand the whole keep Joe Judge thing. But Monday night, I realized, like, this is not the right guy for this
team. Well, get ready, right? Because he's going to be back.
I don't know. He's going to be back. I don't know how this whole thing plays out.
I'll tell you what. Here. This is the scenario. You ready?
Yeah.
The obvious best case scenario is a full house cleaning.
Yeah.
Where John Mara actually does some investigating and some, you know, soul searching with his organization, realizes that he's been surrounded by too many yes men who don't know what they're doing, cleans house, brings in a new GM. That GM brings in a new coaching staff. That coaching staff evaluates the current situation, and we go from there. That is not going to happen, okay? I can promise you that that's not going to happen. The Giants are going to win some bullshit games later on. They're going to use the injury excuse. They're going to use the COVID excuse. They're going to use some sort of excuse to justify anything, okay? They are going to keep, they're going to get rid of Gettleman in the offseason. This is what I truly believe is going to happen, okay? I think that they go, I'll call it the Jets route, right? Where Adam Gase was head coach. They bring in Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas is working behind the scenes. He's evaluating the roster. He's evaluating Adam Gase, who is very obviously still a bad head coach, right? I think the Giants get rid of Gettleman. They bring in someone who right now, like, you could tell me that it's going to be Louis Riddick, and I'd be furious, but I would totally believe it. That's just how incompetent John Mara is. And I tweeted this today. I'm dead fucking serious. You know, that conversation that they had on the sidelines during Monday Night Football was Saquon Chris Pettit at the Combine vibes, okay? That's what that reminded me of instantly. I swear to God, all right? I swear to God, this is what I believe they're going to do. They're going to ask Gettleman to retire. They're going to bring in a new GM. They're going to keep Judge because even though Judge is awful and hasn't proved to have any redeeming qualities, John Mara is all about the optics and would preach patience. Right. And, you know, we did this well. We did that well. Like, the defense was still pretty good, even though that's all Patrick Graham. Okay. And then this new GM is going to have to come in, evaluate the horrendous cap situation, evaluate Judge, and evaluate Dan Jones. Okay. So if we agree that the optimal scenario that I laid out previously is not going to play out, here's the next best scenario for us Giants fans, okay? Gettleman is asked to quote-unquote retire. A new GM that the fan base can agree on and would yield patience to comes in.
You wouldn't show patience with Louis Riddick?
What?
You wouldn't show patience with Louis Riddick?
No, I would.
You've seen from this organization?
I would.
Okay.
I'll touch on Riddick for after this for 2 seconds. Okay. So new GM comes in, new GM brings in some, you know, behind the scenes guys, some scouting guys, whatever. Mm-hmm. They leave Joe Judge in place. They tell Dan that Danny Dimes, they're going to go, we're not picking up your 5th year option. All right. Fucking prove it to us and see what happens. All right.
You want to pick up his 5th year option.
I'm saying yes, this is my optimal scenario. Okay. Given what we know about the Giants, new GM comes in, Joe Judge is still the head coach. Dan Jones is still the quarterback because honestly, like, what else are they going to do? I'm like, the quarterback class in this draft is not spectacular, and their cap situation is so fucked they can't exactly trade for, you know, right, one of these quote unquote disgruntled veterans. Right. So they're going to come in. They're not going to pick up Danny's 5th year option, and they're essentially going to be like a snake behind the scenes. They're going to evaluate the cap situation, the draft situation. They're going to do their best to spend year one cleaning up the mess that Dave and Kevin Abrams made. Mm-hmm. Year two, because, I mean, given what we've seen, you said it, 24 games from Joe Judge so far,
right,
pretty much everyone can agree that he is not the guy. Then he gets fired. That GM brings in his new coaching staff. And then after that, evaluate Danny, If he balls out next year, which incredibly unlikely, extend him, give him whatever money he wants. If not, you bring in the new coaching staff, and that coaching staff and that new GM can partner up to pick their new quarterback.
Okay.
That is really the optimal scenario based on what we know John Mara is and how he operates. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? Like, it sucks, but I think that's really the scenario. And on Lewis Riddick, I would be furious if he got hired, because here's the thing. As Giants fans,
yeah,
the rational ones at least, we all agreed that, first of all, we weren't fans of the Dave Gettleman hiring in the first place. But no. Pretty much unanimously, we agreed that the second he handed in that piece of paper to draft Saquon Barkley, that man should have been fired. Well, not only would Lewis Riddick have drafted Saquon Barkley, which he has admitted on television, he also would have drafted Dwayne Haskins, who, like, a billion times worse than Dan Jones. And on top of that, someone just sent me a tweet a few years ago saying that he would draft Eli Apple over Jalen Ramsey. So, like, it's not just that this guy would have this team in a worse spot, very likely would have this team in a worse spot today than Dave Gettleman would have, which is, like, an insane thing to have to say out loud. But he would have done so by making the exact same mistake that we vilify Dave Gettleman for. So if he were to come in, I would have, and on top of that, first of all, the guy, I think the first time he was VP of pro personnel in Washington, they didn't renew his contract. And in Philadelphia, the guy got fired. All right. So he doesn't even, like, yeah, maybe he's got like a good track record of scouting a couple guys, but he hasn't exactly shown bright like a diamond everywhere that he's been. So I would be appalled if Riddick was the choice. But again, he is not one of Mara's current cronies. So by that alone, like, I'll give him a little bit of slack.
You got to be patient, right? You got to.
But it's still
years.
Like, of all the options out there, he would be the bottom of my list.
Yeah, I don't know how I'd feel about Lewis Riddick. I know people point to a lot of the things like you just pointed out. I do want to say this, and I'm not advocating for him. I'm not even making excuses for him.
That's my long-winded way of saying that Joe Judge is back next year.
Right. In terms of the media people, a lot of times there's some money given to media people to pump certain prospects. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm not advocating for Lewis Riddick. He's not my first choice. He's not even my fourth choice, to be honest with you. But I think people are reading a lot into that picture. I know that analogy with the whole Chris Pettit Saquon thing is that's spot on, really, though. I really like that. But I don't know. I don't know what they do. I do know that you can't pigeonhole this search because you are demanding Joe Judge be kept on, you know, as the head coach. I think you have.
That's what they're going
to
do.
Yeah, you have to let the new GM make that move. Like, you can't, you know, short sale yourself because you have to keep Joe Judge. He hasn't done anything to prove it that way. But I do agree with you. I do see how this is going to play out. I think there is going to be an outside hire, but I do think Joe Judge is going to stay on board unless something crazy happens, like them. I mean, if they lose the rest of their games or something like that, or
that's the only way I could see it. But I mean, got the Dolphins, they got the Eagles twice. Like,
yeah. I mean, although, but listen, they're so fucking incompetent. Like, I could see them losing all those games. Like, if they were competent enough, the Chiefs were not world beaters, man. The Chiefs looked like absolute trash. They're a mess. That game was, the Chiefs basically got on their knees and looked up at the Giants and said, please win this game. I'm begging you to win this game. Like, I'm begging you to win this game. You know what the Giants said? No. They were Captain America from that movie where he becomes an old man. No, I don't think so. You know, they were Nick Saban talking to that reporter. I'm not gonna, so stop asking. Like, that's exactly what they did. Like, so I can't even sit here and say, well, they got this team on there. Like, there's no game I think this team can win because they're so incompetent. They are so unbelievably incompetent. And I understand, like, the Chiefs last night or on Monday night, they were not the Chiefs that we know. They were essentially a below 500 team. So you can't point to another team on their schedule and say, well, that they're going to beat that team, like, just because that team is who they are. Like, the Chiefs were not good. And I have my doubts on this Chiefs team making the playoffs. Like, it would have to be a dramatic turnaround, because if they play like the way they played Monday night, I don't see a lot of wins on their schedule. Nonetheless, the Giants are just incredibly incompetent. And everybody, like, it just boggles my mind. That last 2 minutes of the first half was It was the most pathetic drive I have ever seen in my life. And then I saw the drive in the fourth quarter at the end of the game. Like, it is incredible how bad this team is. Like, do they even practice? Like, do the Giants, like, what do they practice? It's insane to me how bad this team is. And against a 31st ranked pass defense, for you to sort of be that bad or that conservative, it boggles my mind a lot. And, you know,
Dude, forget about them being the 31st ranked pass defense. On offense, they were 4th in passing yards, 8th in scoring, including the game that they got shut out. Like, that's like they were still performing numerically as a top 5 offense. And the Giants defense shut them down.
Can I tell you the most eye-popping stat to me? Patrick Mahomes averaged 2.1 air yards on his completion. On his completions. 2.1 air yards. He was 2 of 13 on passes of more than 10 yards downfield. 2 for 13.
So that means he threw 13 times. He threw beyond 10 yards?
Yes, and only completed 2.
You know how many times Daniel Jones threw beyond 10 yards?
I mean, I would say single digits, right?
3 times. And one of them was that insanely... Dude, Daniel Sorensen is fucking garbaggio. Holy smokes. It's not the first game of the Chiefs that I've watched where I've noticed how bad he is.
Yeah, Sorensen is bad.
And 50 of those yards... Dan Jones finished with 200... No, sorry. The Giants finished with 241 passing yards. Yeah. 19 of them were from Kadarius Toney. 50 of them came on that insanely lucky to bomb to John Ross. And 40 more came on the screen to Booker. How? How is that possible? Against the 31st ranked pass defense. The 31st. Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah.
Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah.
Your quarterback is... Your quarterback, 221. 90 of which you could argue were straight garbage yards. 50 that shouldn't have been had and 40 where the quarterback didn't have to do any work.
Any competent team would have won that game.
Any.
Anybody.
The Jets. Dude, the Jets would have won that game. Based on how they played against the Bengals, the Jets would have won that game.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's that's why I have a, like, if this is the way they are, I don't understand how you can say, well, they can beat this team, they can beat that team. They're not. This is an incredibly incompetent football team. They don't know how to win games. They don't know how to handle prosperity. They don't know, you know, they're undisciplined. They're not prepared. There's no accountability, obviously. And they have a head coach who's, I mean, really, he's just in over his head. I mean, at this point, that's what he is. I mean, I don't know how else to put this. I mean, if you were still somebody like me who was not completely out on Judge, but, you know, had your reservations, for him to have that excuse and for him to continue to have his team this undisciplined and with no... You know, them not being prepared. I mean, I'm out, man. I'm with you. I
don't know how anyone could be in.
I don't know how you can be in. If the only reason that you think Joe Judge should come back next year is because you can't fire a coach after you can't fire another coach after 2 years, that's not a reason. I'm sorry. That's not a reason. Can we talk about Daniel Jones?
Please.
It's a very controversial topic, and it's
apparently.
You know, yeah. This is what... How can I word this where people don't take my words out of context? Daniel Jones has not been good enough for anybody to sit up here and be comfortable with the long-term quarterback situation with the Giants.
Correct.
If anybody is, then my counter to that is, are you ready to give Daniel Jones a long-term contract? Because after the third year, typically speaking with quarterbacks, correct me if I'm wrong, after the third year, you start to talk about contracts and you want to get them, you know, you want to get the long-term deal worked out, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not comfortable with the quarterback right now. You're not. So because you're not comfortable and because there is doubt there, you cannot sit here and just be like, Daniel Jones has to come back. Daniel Jones. I disagree with you that the Giants must or have to bring, and I don't know if you're saying this, but this notion that, well, the draft sucks, well, free agency. The Giants have to be honest with themselves with Daniel Jones. You can't just simply say, well, the draft sucks, so I'm stuck with this guy. No, you're not. You can bring in competition, whether it's, you know, a really good backup quarterback. I'll throw a name out there, Tyrod Taylor or something like that. But what you can't do is you can't just half-ass your quarterback position. You can't just say, well, because I drafted Daniel Jones, he's going to be my starter next year because the draft sucks. I don't think you can do that. But going back to my point about Daniel Jones and the whole evaluation of him is he hasn't proven that we can't have doubt in him. And the Giants have done so bad in building around him that it's made it hard for us to sort of look at that position as a silver lining. So what you're left with is you're left with people making a lot of excuses, pointing to injuries, pointing to this, pointing to that, rather than just be brutally honest about the situation. Daniel Jones is on a timeline. That timeline is a rookie contract. By after year three, if you don't have that question answered, then the reality of your quarterback situation is there's uncertainty. And right now with the Giants, there's a lot of uncertainty. And you can't just simply say, well, he has to come back next year because X, Y, and Z. I don't agree with that.
I just think it's tough. Like, you spent the 6th overall pick on this guy. Like, what are you going to do? Like, realistically, and let's do this exercise.
Okay.
Yeah.
This
isn't the NFL of 10, 12 years ago where it was impossible to find good production at the quarterback position. Okay? No. Let's do this exercise. We're going to go rapid fire, team by team, using context. Okay? Right. The context is key. We're going to pick out the teams that would take Daniel Jones over their current option.
Okay.
Okay? Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, no. New England Patriots, Mac Jones,
no.
No. New York Jets, just spent 2nd overall on Kyle Wilson, no.
Zach Wilson, not Kyle.
Sorry. Zach Wilson.
Sorry.
No, they're right. not. They just spent, right. they believed that this guy was so good that they spent 2nd overall on him.
Right.
No. The Dolphins. Maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
But you know what? You could argue no because they are actively trying to trade for Deshaun Watson, who is a better option than Daniel Jones, okay?
Right.
So that's the context. They're the only team that Deshaun Watson wants to go to. So I'm going to give him a no, okay? Right. That's the entire AFC West would not take Daniel Jones over their current
AFC East, yep. Okay.
AFC East, sorry. Okay? AFC North, Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson, no. Bengals, Burrow,
no.
Pittsburgh Steelers, Big Ben. Probably not. Maybe. Like, Big Ben has been pretty awful this year, and he's very close to, you know, retiring. So you know what? I'll give the Steelers.
I'll give a yes too, just because I think the Steelers would definitely move on if there was some sort of a younger quarterback, right?
Yes. Yeah. A younger option that would give you at least comparable production to what Big Ben is giving you now. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
One, the Steelers. Yeah. The Browns.
No.
No. Baker Mayfield, they're going to take him over Dan Jones any day. Okay.
I'm not a big Baker guy, but no.
Yeah, no. All right. So we've done 8 teams. Of those 8, 1 would take Daniel Jones over their current option. Tennessee Titans, Ryan Tannehill. No.
No.
Indianapolis Colts.
Carson Wentz.
They just traded for.
Would they trade a 1st-round pick for Daniel Jones?
I don't know. Maybe.
Could be maybe. We're talking about context, right? Like, if you could tell Frank Reich, hey,
what was the full package for Wentz?
I think it was a first, and then it comes a second if he plays under 75% of snaps or something like that. But call it a first. Let's say that same trade offer. Would Frank Reich give it to the Eagles for Carson Wentz or give it to the Giants for Daniel Jones?
I really want to say yes. I do. But that Frank Reich connection with Wentz going back to Philly where, like, Frank Reich is the only guy that can fix Carson Wentz narrative. Like, I don't know if Frank Reich does that trade. I think 95% of everyone else would do that trade for Jones instead.
Okay, so let's say yes. Let's say yes.
All right, so that's 2.
Although, Jaguars, we talk about turnovers, Daniel Jones turns the ball over a lot too. But anyways, okay, we'll say yes. No problem.
Sure. Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, no.
No.
Houston Texans, yes.
Yes.
So that's three. Mm-hmm. The Raiders, no.
Nope.
Carr, they like him. Chargers, yep. Herbert,
nope.
Absolutely
no,
not.
No.
Chiefs,
I actually
Mahomes.
Think the Giants would rather have Justin Herbert than Daniel.
Yeah, that much we know.
Yeah.
Okay. Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, no. Denver Broncos, sure.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's four.
Four?
Yeah. That's four. And one was, and still, the Colts, like, a little iffy, but we're giving it four.
Right. We'll okay? give them four, okay.
Give them four. Cowboys, Dak Prescott, no. Okay, this is where it gets interesting, okay? Mm-hmm. The Eagles, with Jalen Hurts. The context here is that this is a team that has three first-round picks that are going to be top 15 picks coming up in this draft. Draft picks that they specifically acquired in case Jalen Hurts wasn't the guy, so that they could either draft someone or trade for someone. I think
right,
that
use,
if they have those
in context,
but that is the context. That is the context.
I know.
That
they but look at the starter that they have right now. If they
right,
could,
but
if they
okay,
have,
but we just did this for the Dolphins, though. The context. Obviously, they would rather have Dan Jones over Tua, but the context is that Deshaun Watson has picked them as the only team that he would go to, so we gave them a no. For this situation, right. The Eagles have three first-round picks specifically in case Hurts wasn't the guy, so that they could replace him at the end of this season with an option that's better than Dan Jones. That is the context that I believe we need to use here.
I got you on that, but I think what you have to look at is this is the context that I look at it as. Forget about the draft picks that the Eagles have. Would they, if you could tell them you start the year with Daniel Jones as your starting quarterback or Jalen Hurts, and you again, you're evaluating them the same way, you can still take a quarterback in the draft, which one would you want to evaluate? I think that they would rather have Daniel Jones.
I disagree.
I'll give you no. Yeah.
Okay.
Give me no. Okay. That's fine.
All right. So we still have four yeses.
Okay.
Okay. Washington football team.
Yes.
Okay. So that's five. NFC North, Packers.
No.
Minnesota Vikings, Cousins. He's played well the last two seasons. No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm going to say no.
Chicago Bears, just drafted Justin Fields.
No.
Keep Detroit going. Lions. Maybe.
I think so, yeah. Because of the contract, they would rather have...
sure.
Yeah, they would rather
all
have.
Right.
I'm going to say yes there.
So we're up to six.
Okay.
Okay. Bucks, Brady, no.
No.
Saints, that context changed a lot this Sunday.
Right.
You know,
I'm going to say yes with the Saints.
I'd say yes now.
Yeah.
If it was still Jameis, I think they take Jameis.
Right. So yes here, that's what, eight quarterbacks now? 18?
Seven.
Seven, okay.
Seven. The eighth would be the Panthers.
Yes, that's a yes. I'm glad we agree on that.
The Falcons, I say no, because no. They had the chance to draft the guy, and they said, fuck that, we love Matty.
Right. Okay. And Matt Ryan's actually played well enough.
Yep, and then the entire NFC West is going to be a no. The Cardinals, no. The Rams, no. The 49ers no. Just drafted Lance and still have Jimmy G. And the Seattle Seahawks, no. Russell Wilson.
No.
So, at most... There are eight teams that might take Daniel Jones over their current option. And again, that's a maybe.
For the sake of these, you know, sensitive Giant fans, we'll give you the Eagles too. Go ahead, make it nine. Go ahead. Just give them the Eagles. Nine.
Okay, fine.
Give them the Eagles. Just say nine. That's still...
It's two-thirds of the league. That's two-thirds of the league that would rather have their current option.
Thank you.
Than Daniel Jones.
Right.
Okay. And, I don't know how many times we could say this, until we're blue in the face. Jason Garrett doesn't do him any favors. Joe Judge doesn't do him any favors. The offensive line doesn't do him any favors. But year after year, you see young quarterbacks in bad situations that still put up numbers. We saw it with Justin Herbert in his first year with the Chargers.
Right.
We've seen it with Deshaun Watson, every other year when he was with
we
the Texans.
We saw it with Joe Burrow last year.
We saw it with Joe Burrow before he got hurt. There are examples all over the league where these guys flash, they still make plays and they don't make costly mistakes in games that are 17-17 deep into the fourth quarter against the team. I know it's the Chiefs, but you said it. They were playing absolute garbanzo beans.
They were not awful. They were not the same Chiefs.
Patrick Graham had that Chiefs offense in fucking Rikers Island. Okay.
Patrick Graham was the best Patrick in that stadium.
Patrick in the stadium.
Yeah,
the Chiefs couldn't do jack shit on offense. And still, when it mattered, his second play from scrimmage after the Giants got... by the way, the Chiefs turned the ball over a lot this year.
Yes.
I'm convinced three quarters of the interceptions are exactly like the one that Mahomes started the game off with, where it's going off a guy's helmet, it's going off a guy's hand. Like, it's I've never seen turnover luck as bad as I've seen with the Chiefs. It literally reminds me of the Giants with Preston Parker and Reuben Randall. That's how bad it is.
Right. But my thing was, they were moving the ball down so methodical, and then they all of a sudden wanted to get cute.
They were also running the ball at will. There was an entire drive where they just ran all the way down the field, and then they just got away from it. I don't get it.
I have a confession to make. For about a quarter and a half, Gore. I thought it was Frank Gore. I did. I knew you were going to say that. I'm with you, man. By the way, was that running back drafted in the first round? Derek Gore?
I hate, but I also love that that's become like my brand on Twitter right now. Literally, anytime a running back that wasn't a first round pick goes off, everyone's asking me.
Every time I see a random running back go off, I automatically think about you.
Yeah, but it's anyway.
You're right with Daniel Jones. Listen, there's definitely stuff to like there that you're like, okay, this is promising. But again, you have to look at the timeline. Like, context matters in this thing. It's year three, right? The question has not been answered. So like, I'm inclined to say that everything is on the table with Daniel Jones. Like, you can't just be like if a new GM comes in and wants to draft their own quarterback, are you going to get mad?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, me too. Like, I actually think that they should pick up the fifth year option, just because if they hypothetically speaking,
trade him,
if there's a trade there, that fifth year option actually helps them a little bit more. But I'm with you, man. Like, I gotta see more. Like, I'm not comfortable.
What's the upside?
Where the Giants with Daniel Jones? Yeah, it's not even upside. It's about like the question has not been answered, and it's year three. So like, there's really only one more year of minimal cap space before that fifth year option, and he's paid over $20 million. Like, that's what people don't understand. So like, you sort of gotta get, you gotta be comfortable after year three, and if you're not, then every option has to be on the table with Daniel Jones. And I just think that people that sort of scuff at that or think that this is like, you can't sugarcoat the situation.
Because no, you can't.
End up lying to yourself. You got to be brutally honest about the situation.
And the team is just not as good as people think. Like,
no.
At this point,
and I think the trade deadline showed that.
That's true. But you know what the Giants are? The Giants are like the all names team. Like, they have the names that everyone recognizes and that people know, but they're not good, or they're always fucking hurt. Like, Saquon Barkley hasn't done shit. Always hurt.
Right.
Sterling Shepard, great guy, great team leader. The fan base loves him. Constantly hurt. It's either the head injuries this year, it's the leg injuries. Kenny Golladay, signed to a big money contract. Already hurt. Evan Engram, knock on wood, won't be on the fucking team next year. Like,
Pro Bowler.
Pro Bowler. But that's an entire offense. Like, it's them. They don't have 4/5 of an offensive line. Right. And you still have questions about the quarterback.
That's crazy. After 4 years with Dave Gettleman,
they don't have an offense.
One offensive line. And by the way, you have to use it. It was context, right? This episode is all about context.
Sure.
It was a historically great offensive line class, and he had the first pick at one, right? Like, he had his, because no offensive line went before him, so he had the pick of the all, and he nailed it. Good for him. But like, there's no late round guy that we can look at and say that's the guy. I mean, Nick Gates was an undrafted guy that we like a lot, but after that, I mean, 1 of 5 offensive linemen is incredible to me. And the trade deadline, I think, showed what the NFL thinks about the Giants roster. The fact that they couldn't, I'm sure that they were listening to offers on a lot of guys.
Especially, I don't know if they were, to contract. Be honest.
I read an article from the Post, and it basically said that the NFL, the other teams, didn't really think highly of the Giants roster, which takes me back to, you know, what Michael Lombardi said about the Giants, where like, they think too highly of themselves, not just personnel wise, but roster wise, but, you know, front office coaching wise. And it's true. And it's a very, very dark time for the Giants. It is a very, very dark time. It is really, really bad. There's no sugarcoating it.
Nothing.
I mean, so much uncertainty with the quarterback position. Terrible cap situation, you know, and just losing constantly, embarrassing yourself constantly every single week.
Yeah.
When will it end? Nobody knows.
Probably never. All right. Patrick Graham.
I think he put himself back on that I'm going to be a head coach thing. Monday Night Football, put together that game plan. I'm very, very, very happy that Patrick Graham redeemed himself on Monday night.
Me too.
Yeah, that was an awesome game plan. And that's the blueprint. I mean, too high. Talk about it, right? There you go. That's how you want to beat him. That's how you do it. And if you have a better front four than the Giants had,
probably way, worse.
The Giants front four,
probably worse from Mahomes.
Probably be even better.
That's yeah. Yeah.
You can get there. You can do a lot better than what the Giants did.
Sure.
Yeah, Patrick Graham was phenomenal. I think he puts himself back in that conversation, especially because it happened on Monday night. Like, if it would have happened on a Sunday at 1 o'clock with like eight other games on, it probably wouldn't have been as significant. But Monday night in Arrowhead to put that kind of performance together. That's really, really, really good. I do think he's going to be a head coach next year. He was in talks of becoming one last year, but I do think if he continues this, he's going to be a head coach, definitely.
Yeah.
And the Giants will get a third-round pick for it with this new Rooney Rule type thing.
Nice. I don't think I knew that.
Trade deadline.
Not surprising. Not surprised. I feel like we spoke about it briefly last episode, but I was not convinced that they would be able to strike a deal. I really wanted them to trade Evan Engram.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, realistically, there were no pieces to be moved.
Nope.
Barkley hasn't been healthy.
The problem
team's
is the
not
going to
trade their mascot
have,
anyway. So
yeah, the guys that they have that have, you know, some sort of value, like, for example, James Bradbury. I mean, the team has to have a lot of cap space to take on that contract.
Right.
And unfortunately...
Or Sterling Shepard.
There's only like... Yeah.
But he's hurt.
There's not a lot of teams with a lot of cap space. Yeah, well, Sterling Shepard got hurt now. But yeah. I was surprised a little bit. I thought Evan Engram would get moved. Especially the way they kind of used him. Like, he was not being used until, like, they had to actually, you know, use him because of injuries. But Darius Slayton was a guy. I know the Saints were in on it. A little bit,
yeah.
Until the end,
it was a weird one
Slayton,
to me.
I don't know what. I don't know what. But I guess because the Michael Thomas news.
Yeah, but still, like, it's not like whatever. I'm not going to get into that. But
he doesn't move the needle. But you know, what was out there in terms of wide receiver that they could have gotten?
Not much.
I mean, the big one is Odell Beckham. But again, you got to take that contract, and there
right.
are not teams willing to take that contract. So
future Kansas City Chief.
Oh yeah, you're calling that now, huh?
Yep. That's the word. That's word on the street.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm with you. When it wasn't Engram, I was like, okay, I don't think anybody's getting moved.
Yeah, but disappointed but not surprised is how I would describe it.
I agree. Las Vegas Raiders.
Oh boy.
Right off the bat, that's a team that's, whew, you talk about turmoil.
Yeah, man.
Anybody going through it like the Raiders right now?
No, nobody.
First the head coach, you know, for whatever he did, and then Henry Ruggs. I mean, I read details of that from the online.
Yeah.
Henry Ruggs was going 156 miles per hour in a car.
Bro, you cut that in half. That's still an uncomfortable speed.
Yes.
Like, he was on a road where the speed limit was 45 miles an hour.
Yeah, could you imagine going 75 on a 45?
No.
This man was going 156 miles an hour.
At 4 in the morning, double the legal limit.
Right.
What a fucking asshole.
When his airbag deployed,
at 121.
127.
Yeah, something.
Both cars traveled 500 feet.
Yep.
Holy cow.
And he had an unregistered gun in the car. To boot. That's the kicker.
Yeah. Don't drink and drive.
I hope he'd bury him under the jail. And the crazy part about that is his whole shtick and his whole charity is because his best friend, like, died in a car crash.
Yeah,
and now he goes out and does that.
It's terrible, man. Like,
and you see Kadarius Toney's tweets?
No, I didn't.
You did? He's like, oh, you got to feel sympathy for, like, everyone involved.
Really?
Yeah. like the worst thing you could possibly tweet in this situation.
We young, everybody makes mistakes. Y'all looking at the situation like this or that, because it ain't y'all having so much to say. He know he messed up. Don't drag him for it. That's goofy to me. Just pray for the families involved. And then a couple of emojis afterward. Jeez.
Insane. Insane.
I wish he would sort of add more context to that. Like, are you referencing people making fun of Henry Ruggs? I don't know, but it's not a good time to defend Henry Ruggs right now.
No.
2 days after he killed somebody. No. I think there's a time and place for us
Listen, like it or not, Henry Ruggs is going to get a second chance at life.
Yeah.
The woman he killed is not. Yep. That's the bottom line.
Yep.
Henry Ruggs is going to go to jail. It might be for quite a long time. It might be for an undeservingly short time because of who he is. Right. Although I think the law states he could go away for as long as...
like 2 to 20 years.
Yeah, 2 to 20 years. Mm-hmm. No one would be shocked if it was two and a half, good behavior, parole, right. Celebrity, whatever. He's going to get a second chance at some point.
I just think, man, you're 22... You got your whole life ahead of you. You're a first-round pick in the NFL. You went to Alabama. You're playing for a winning team right now. Is it really worth, like, is that really worth it? To drink and drive? And jeez. Anyways, don't drink and drive, folks. Call an Uber.
Please.
That's the message. The Raiders, coming off a bye, obviously, going through a lot. I think they're still a good team. I do think they're going to beat the Giants. Giants are going through a COVID situation.
I think a lot of it. Wasn't it like a lot of false positives?
Can I ask you a question? Do you think that they should be testing players that are vaccinated?
No. I don't know.
I that doesn't make sense. Like,
I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to comment on it. But like,
right.
I'm a common man who,
right?
Like I came down with something when I got back from Vegas, like,
right. But you went and took a.
I didn't take a COVID test until like 2 days ago, just because
right,
like.
But you did take one because you had symptoms of something, right?
No, just because I had this cough. Like I didn't even cross. I mean, obviously it crosses your mind these days, but like I didn't have any COVID symptoms. Like even the cough that I have is not like a right. COVID cough. And the doctor was even like, right. All right, like, I'm just going to do this because you're here. Like, I don't think you have it. I'm like, okay, cool.
Right.
But like, bro, like, you go about your normal day. Like, I don't know. But again, right. I'm not a scientist. I'm not in like a building with 200 people every day. So,
right. I mean, I see both sides to it, but 13 positive tests, clearly, I guess you can call that an outbreak, right? What is it? Three or more?
Sure.
Outbreak? That's what the NFL defines an outbreak. So we'll see. We can say Saquon Barkley dealing with the ankle injury, but now he's probably not going to play, although he's vaccinated. So two negative tests. So the Giants are dealing with stuff. Obviously, the Raiders are dealing with stuff. Do you give the Giants a chance to win this game?
No.
I think there's a slight chance because of everything that's gone on with the Raiders.
But you know what? We said that when Gruden got fired and they came out and they fucking dominated.
Yeah, you're right. I can see them... Although, what are you rallying around?
Nothing. There's nothing to rally around here.
Like this, like you could rally around the fact that your coach did something stupid, but like, I don't know. This is the Henry Ruggs situation is sort of different, but I think the Raiders present a problem because they can rush the passer.
Yeah, they can rush the passer. The Giants don't have a single person capable of covering Darren Waller, and Derek Carr's deep ball has been awesome this year. So
right, and although the Giants shut down Travis Kelce, which was
he's hurt,
mind-boggling how he's
hurt.
So I can't celebrate the Giants actually shutting down a tight end for the first time in my life.
I mean, go for it because I don't think it's like an official injury, but
right.
I'll say the same way that I am very, very confident that Odell will wind up as a Chief. Is right. The same reason that I'm very confident that Travis Kelce is playing through a back injury. So,
can we talk about this Odell thing real quick? Because I want to get
sure.
your opinion on something.
Yeah.
What do you... I know you like Baker Mayfield.
I do.
You're a big fan. I don't know if you still do, but
not as much as I used to because he hasn't been that good.
Right. Right. But coming out, big Baker fan. What went wrong? Because I have my opinion on it, but I want to know why do you think it didn't work for Odell there?
In what sense? In the way of how it ended or why his production hasn't been good?
Well, let's look at it from big picture. Like, he came in there, right? And obviously, in his first year, he was telling other quarterbacks to, like, come trade for him.
Well, he didn't want to be there.
Allegedly.
He didn't want to be there in the first place, right? He didn't have a choice.
Right.
He got sent there.
Right.
Here's my entire take on Odell and the Odell situation. You cannot find a single New York Giants teammate that will say something negative about him as a locker room presence or as a football player on the field. Okay? You won't. It just doesn't happen. He was loved. People celebrated him. He was a good friend to a lot of people on the team. You and I both agree that the Lil Wayne Josina Anderson interview was over the top, inappropriate, shouldn't have happened, even though what he was saying was not incorrect, that Eli was nearing the end and at a point was hurting the team. What worked for Odell was after, I think it was a hamstring injury, the beginning part of his freshman season, he was absolutely dominant. He was on pace.
Freshman year, you mean?
As a Giant.
Rookie year.
Yeah, his rookie year. I don't know why I said freshman. His rookie season, after the injury, and for the next, three seasons? 2.5 seasons? Whatever.
Yeah, 2014, 15, 16,
proceeded to break every single record and was on pace to literally be the greatest of all time. Like, Odell on the Giants, for when he was putting up those numbers before he got hurt towards the end of his Giants tenure, was literally the best wide receiver in Giants history. Like, most talented.
Yeah, his first 3 years, it was. I would compare it to Steph Curry on the Warriors.
Right.
Like, it was much CTV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? Did he have moments like peeing like a dog and the kicking net and all that shit? Yeah, sure. But my problem with it is that it's not a big deal. Right? We're sitting here a few years later looking around the league. Aaron Rodgers is lying about being vaccinated. You have other players who are literally, like, there were entire weeks of the Bills preseason dedicated to coverage of Cole Beasley, right? Like, that's a distraction. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers lying about being vaccinated, that's a distraction. Henry Ruggs.
Also, can I say something real quick?
Sure.
Just real quick. You talked about vaccinated players. This is an informed thing. I know I spoke to one former player, and he told me there's a lot of NFL players who are not vaccinated who have been able to get a fake vaccine card.
Doesn't surprise me.
Okay, so continue.
Continue, okay? You have Henry Ruggs driving 156 miles an hour in the middle of the night, drunk as a skunk, killing people, right? These are, like, distractions. Odell's never done anything remotely close to any of this shit, okay? So when he was with the Giants, the only thing that I will ever give him shit for is the interview he did with Lil Wayne and Josina Anderson. When he went over to the Browns, he had that, like, the pregame thing, like, oh, come trade for me. Yeah, he didn't want to be there, bro. No one wants to be playing for the Browns. And you know what? In Ben McAdoo's offense and even in Pat Shurmur's offense, the goal was just get him the ball in space. And they haven't been able to do that in Cleveland. Now,
but don't you think he's lost a step?
Of course, but the dude has torn an ACL. He has broken his ankle like twice. He's had hamstring issues. Like,
right.
He's going to fall off. Listen, I'm not like he hasn't been fully healthy and not like the full physical skill set is not there. But the bottom line is, again, it's stuff that you shouldn't say, but it's not untrue. That montage that Odell's dad posted, first of all, it wasn't Odell. Odell and his father did not make it. It was a video that was posted on YouTube like 2 weeks ago, right? This is like the most boomer shit of all time. This is like your mom going on Facebook and like seeing a meme that we all saw on Twitter 3 weeks ago and go, Weiss, have you seen this, honey? Have you seen it? Right? Like, that's literally what his dad did. And yes, it was inappropriate, but I don't think that I can point to another antic that he has had while on the Browns. And people forget, like, he stood up for Baker numerous times. He tore his ACL chasing down a defender after Baker threw a pick or someone fumbled the ball, right? Like, this is a guy that's always tried. So he just gets a lot of hate and a lot of vitriol from Giants fans who are just too upset that he said some negative things about Eli, even though they weren't untrue. And I think a lot of Giants fans just get upset because it was a trade that could have so easily been won by the Giants based on Odell's production after he left, and they still managed to lose it because not only did they have to eat the dead cap after they traded him, but they also had dead cap from trading Olivier Vernon. They blew their two picks on a pass rusher who's not going to be on the team next year, and as you describe, a glorified nose tackle, and Jabril Peppers, who at this point is just performing like a worse Landon Collins, who is like super hyped during who's not going to be back, especially after the injury, right?
Right.
And then using the money that they allegedly saved on Odell on the corpse of Golden Tate, all right? So a trade that should have so easily been won that Giants fans could have really hung their hat on. Like, even if you did like Odell and you were like, oh, like, you know, it sucked to see him go, but like at least we got really good and a lot better for the future because we got rid of him. Giants fans can't even hang their hat on that. So all that negative hate and all that negativity just gets blown back in his direction, even though he hasn't been on the Giants in years. That's my opinion on the Odell situation.
I think with Odell, the big thing with him is, and it's, this is what sort of turned me off with him, is that it's always football and something else. Like, I love football, but I also love this too. I agree with you. I think his time in New York, I think fans really, really loved the guy because the team was losing. I think what turned fans off was, I'm with you, sort of the antics and stuff. The interview was really bad, but specifically in Cleveland, right? I understand he didn't want to be there, but if you look at the context of where he was going to a team with a young quarterback, at the time, what we know now is a really good roster and an opportunity to really win. I mean, the Browns were really, really close to beating the Chiefs last year and going to the AFC Championship game. That was without Odell. I just think
But in his defense, that was also after he learned that the Browns had rebuilt properly. Like, the Browns weren't good when they traded for him. Like, that was sort of like they're coming off what they were like 8-8 and then traded for him. Like, that was sort of like their go for it offseason.
Right, but with it, I mean, they came into the year when they got Odell, was that a lot of teams picked them to go to, a lot of people picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
Like, based on
them getting Odell and Baker Mayfield's progression and Jarvis Landry and Nick Chubb and they, you know, and what they were able to do. But I just think that with Odell, it's sort of getting to the point where I'm with you, he just never wanted to be in Cleveland. I think he truly still wanted to be in New York. He is a big city guy. And what really turned me off to him after that Josina Anderson thing in Cleveland, where I was like, I just can't root for this guy anymore, was when he was allegedly, and I have no reason to think it's not true, telling other quarterbacks, hey, come get me. I want to play for you. Because you're playing for a team that's competing for something. Like, it wasn't a lost season at the time. And for you to sort of have that mindset, I don't know, man. Sometimes, and this is a little bit of an old school process of, you know, thinking process that I have, but like, sometimes it's about the team. Like, I might not like it here, but, you know, I have an opportunity to win. Like, we can talk about me and what I want to do after the season, but I'm here. I'm a part of it. I'm not going to, you know, in the middle of a season, you know, as we're losing games or winning games, going to be telling other quarterbacks, hey, I don't want to play here. Come get me. I just think that That's just a really bad look for Odell.
And you know what? And that's fine. Like I won't defend that. And listen, I'll admit, like, there is a certain amount of immaturity in the way that he has handled himself as an NFL player, because I can understand as like a young player, right? Like, he agreed to a mega deal with the Giants. Like, he was going to be in New York. Like, the Giants were going to eventually draft Eli's successor. Like, he was going to have, like, that great young quarterback in the world's hottest market. And then all of a sudden, he signs that contract, and he gets sent to, like, what he considered a literal jail. Like, Cleveland. But he doesn't have a choice.
For football terms, he went to what he wanted in New York.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. He was immature in that for that reason. And two, because at some point, you have to realize that it's a business. Right. And I think he has finally figured that out with what's happening right now, because he's playing it like the business. Like, he is now going to be released or waived or whatever, and because of his cap hit, he will finally have the opportunity to choose where he wants to go. And I think that now, maybe that he has experienced that positive side of the business aspect, I hope that it's a maturing moment for him.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. I think Cleveland, he's not playing another game for Cleveland.
No, he's done.
I would be stunned.
He's done.
Yeah. I think what Cleveland's saying is, we'll release you, but you're going to have to give some of the money back. And because we're not going to just release you, eat the money, and then allow you to go play for somebody else. Rather just, in that case, we'll just deactivate you and, you know, release you in the offseason. But I think his time in Cleveland is over. You talk about Kansas City, I don't know where I'll end up, but it's the whole, maybe Odell is done. Maybe the injuries have caught up to him. That's what I'll leave it at.
Maybe hopefully we find out soon.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out soon. But anyways, you want to go to some questions?
Let's do it.
All right.
Give me some good ones.
Realistically, how bad would things have to get for Merritt to fire Judge at the end of the season?
Lose out?
Lose out, or, you
know, three wins? Yeah.
4-13 or whatever.
Even that, I don't know.
I think you have to win at least three more games.
Three more. Four
4-13 is a tough sell. Gettleman, Judge, Daniel Jones. You need to keep one. Who are you keeping?
Who are the three? Gettleman, Jones, and Judge?
Gettleman, Daniel Jones. Dave Gettleman, Joe Judge, Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones.
Okay. John wants to know, when does the pain end?
Either. Never.
Yeah, I guess that's specifically for you.
Never.
We did the Joe Judge ranking. Okay, I'll answer a draft question. What would you do with the first two first-round picks, given they're both in the top 12? So let's say they stay at 5 and 11, right? Pick 5 and pick 11. Where you like some prospects?
Not specifically at this point. I haven't done my research, but I know that it's a very good draft for the offensive line and for the defensive line, so I'm getting a tackle and I'm getting a pass rusher.
Yeah. Aiden Hutchinson and Kenyon Green will be great, 5 and 11.
Yep.
Those are two names I really, really like. That's it. Raiders, they're going to win or lose? Lose, right, you said?
Oh, they're going to lose to the Raiders.
You got a score for me?
I don't even know what the total and the spread is. Let's see. They're going to lose. Giants are 3-point dogs at home. I'm taking the Raiders.
I'm going to take the Raiders, too. I'm going to go... another low scoring. I'm going to say 26-18.
Okay.
Maybe a weird score. Maybe a score got me. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe.
Yeah. I got the Raiders.
I got the Raiders too. I'll go 24-17.
Yep. Then it'll be the bye week. And then it'll be off to Tampa Monday night.
Can't wait. What a disaster.
Oh, man. On we go.
On we go.
Disaster season continues. Close it out for us.
All right. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. Talk to you guys next week.
Peace.